The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Let's welcome Bruce Olivier, and he's here today, and that's a beautiful wife, Judy. This is one of the finest Christian couples that I know. Bruce serves the Lord. He's been a successful businessman in his community. Many, many people know who he is. Many of you may know him. The real claim to fame is Bruce's love of the Lord. He loves the Lord. He believes in the finished work of Jesus Christ and what he's done. He's a teacher. He's involved. He's all over the place. Probably one of the most visible things is that he and Judy both are chaplains with the coroner's office. And if you don't know about that ministry, thank God for our coroner, Chuck Preston. He has put together a program that if anyone in St. Tammany dies, either accidentally or through suicide or drug overdose or automobile, just any of the horrible things that happen to people in St. Tammany, coroner wanted to make sure that there was a godly man or woman to be with those who were facing probably the worst day of their lives. And so he put together the chaplains program. There are about 40 of us, and every day on call, 24 hours a day, are chaplains, and that's what Bruce and Judy do. And so that when someone dies unexpectedly, they show up to bring comfort and hope to the family. That's what the chaplains program does. So Bruce does that, and he's been, of all things, he's been a good friend to me. So with that said, let's welcome Bruce up here onto the platform.
You know, I was thinking just a little bit earlier when Diane's daughter came up and talked to me. Okay, hear me now. When Diane's daughter came up and talked to me, and she asked a simple question, what do you do? And we talked a little bit, and then when I sat back down, you know, I said, my life has really changed. After a 45-year career, I didn't mention anything about that. We talked about, what do I do? What do I do for the Lord? And when you stop and think about it, nothing else is important in this life. It's what you do for the Lord, you know? How you made a living, that's secondary. So, and the other thing I would like to say, Diane, you're a hard act to follow. That was unbelievable. That was unbelievable. Inspirational. And Diane and I shared a Sunday school class together for several years. And, you know, it's funny how when you meet another Christian, you know they're Christian. I mean, I don't know how, but you know. And the good thing about Diane, not only was she an unbelievable Christian, she asked some hard questions in that Sunday school class, and nobody would answer them. I would have answered them. I just didn't know the answers. But anyway, thank you so much for that was great. You know, you never know about people's talents. I've never heard Diane sing before, so it was great. I enjoyed it. We're going to do something a little bit different this morning than what I would normally do when I get a chance to stand behind a pulpit, and I'll get into it in just a minute. But it's normally, if I get a chance to talk, I'm going to talk about grace, you know, the grace of the Lord, because we just don't talk enough about it. But I'm going to move away from that a little bit this morning, and we're going to talk a little bit about something different. But before we do that, let's go to our Father and thank Him for this beautiful experience that we're going through this morning. Lord God, we humbly come together this morning to worship our awesome and unfailing God. And Father, as we come into your presence, We truly lift you up and welcome your Holy Spirit into this congregation of believers. And Father, as we study your word and worship you this morning, we just pray for discernment, and we pray for understanding for every word that is spoken. For we only want to hide true scripture in our hearts. And Father, we just pray that we might be constantly reminded through the Spirit to pass on the love that has been given to us unconditionally. And Lord, we pray that we may be constantly content in knowing we are children of a true living God. And Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Savior, risen with a great triumph over Satan, and risen to take his rightful place at the right hand of the Father, assuring us the promise of eternal salvation. Thank you for loving us, Father, even before we loved you, even as we were sinners. And we ask all of these things in the name of your precious Savior, our Lord and Savior, your precious Son. And we ask all of these things in the name that is beyond description, the precious name of Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let me start by saying this. I consider it a great privilege to stand before you today. I really do. And to talk about my favorite subject, the Word of God, and my favorite person, Jesus Christ. And possibly the best part is that I never run out of things to say, because the Holy Spirit just keeps filling my heart and my mind with new truths every day. New material, if you will, of new truth, new hope, and new clarity. You know, seriously, there's nothing I enjoy more than to speak to like-minded Christian brothers and sisters, all secure in their knowledge of salvation. What makes it even better is Christians filled with love for their fellow man. Love that transcends all earthly understanding. Because Christian love is made possible only through the Holy Spirit and cannot be fully understood by this fallen world that we live in. So again, I thank you for the opportunity. Before we get started, I'd like to ask you a question. How many of you have read this small book written by Bruce Wilkinson entitled The Prayer of Jabez? Fantastic. I've got a bunch of hands. You know, guys, if you haven't, you need to go by the Christian bookstore or go online or whatever and get this little book. It will change your life. For anyone that's not read it, you're in for a real spiritual surprise. Because this book holds the secret of how to pray a daring prayer. A prayer that God will always answer. And this is a powerful but very brief prayer. In fact, it's so brief that it only contains one sentence. One sentence with four parts. And that one sentence is tucked away among the genealogies of the tribe of Israel. But friends, I truly believe it contains the key to a life of extraordinary favor with God. After reading this little book and more fully understanding this brief but powerful prayer, this petition radically changed not only what I expect from God, but also what I experience every day by his power. And friends, I can assure you that I'm not alone in this belief. I was really glad to see as many hands went up as I did. But it's believed that thousands of Christians who are applying its truths are seeing miracles that happen in their spiritual life on a regular basis. So I guess you figured out by now what we're going to talk about this morning. This sermon will be based on the book of Jabez, or the prayer of Jabez. And I would just pray that our God will fill our hearts with the clarity of his word with what we're going to discuss today. In December of 2001, my wife gave me a Christmas present. The present was a small book entitled The Prayer of Jabez. Best Christmas present I ever got, incidentally. Judy's inscription in the book read like this: "May you live the life which is extraordinary," which, as it turns out, is exactly the kind of life God promises. And with this small book, she taught me to pray what might be considered a daring prayer, but a prayer that God always answers. Now, this simple prayer is brief. As I mentioned, only one sentence, four parts. But I truly believe it contains the key to the extraordinary life that Judy mentions in her inscription, because it contains the key to a life of extraordinary favor with God. So if this small prayer is the key to a life of extraordinary favor with God, why is it so often overlooked? We all read the Word of God, but many people have never heard of the prayer of Jabez. Well, perhaps it's because it just happens to be found in the middle of Scripture outlining the chronicles of the tribes of Israel. In this particular case, the clans of Judah. And we all have a tendency to skip over the parts of the Bible that get boring, do we not? And what parts are those? Genealogies. But this just may be living proof that all of God's word is important, or it wouldn't be included. Just that simple. Now, I've heard people say that the prayer of Jabez is hidden in the Bible. I don't believe that, because I don't think any scripture is hidden in the Bible from a believer. At least not one that asks for inspiration and clarification from the Holy Spirit when they read God's word. And that's another whole sermon, guys. So turn with me now, if you have your Bibles, to 1 Chronicles, chapter 4, verse 9. I know that's not a book that we read every day, but it's an important one. Give you a little time to get there, for anybody that's searching for it. 1 Chronicles, chapter 4, verse 9. We're just going to read two verses, 9 and 10. And let's read this simple but powerful prayer together. Verse 9 says, "Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, 'I gave birth to him in pain.'" Verse 10 says, "Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, 'Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain.'" and God granted his request. Now, before we move on, let's ask ourselves a question. And I guess the reason we have to ask ourselves this question is because your teacher or your preacher or whatever I am up here can't answer your question. Now, the first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles are taken up with the official family tree of the Hebrew tribes. And in chapter 4, which we're about to go into, we see the official family tree of the descendants of Judah. And it's not until 44 names later, after wading through all this genealogy, that our story suddenly breaks through. So my question is, what was it about this man Jabez that caused this historian to pause in midstream, clear his throat, and say, wait a minute, you got to know something about this guy Jabez. He stands head and shoulders above the rest. So what is the secret to the enduring reputation of Jabez? Well, simply put, things started out badly for this person. No one had ever even heard of him, and he had had a life of pain. Jabez means pain. Jabez prayed an unusual one-sentence prayer. And by the grace of God, things ended up extraordinarily good for Jabez. But clearly, the outcome could be traced to his prayer. You see, something about Jabez's simple, direct request to God changed his life and left a permanent mark on the history books of Israel. Let's look at this prayer again. Verse 10 says, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel. Oh, that you would bless me, enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. And why is this prayer so important? Because Jabez is remembered for a prayer request, guys, not a heroic act. You see, Jabez is still remembered not for what he did, but for what he prayed. And what happened next was God answered his prayer. You know, some people think the prayer of Jabez is a self-serving petition. Because the prayer of Jabez asked for what? A blessing from God. It asked for protection by God. And it asked for his territory to be enlarged. But that concept couldn't be farther from the truth. You see, in his prayer, the first thing that Jabez asked for was that God bless him. Something we all need to pray for every day. And as a child of God, it is our inherent right to ask for blessings, because our blessings are what? Promised. And the next part of that prayer just might be the key to the blessing of Jabez. When Jabez asked God to enlarge his territory, and when Jabez asked God, let your hand be with me, what is Jabez is really asking? He's asking God to help him in his work, to be with him in all that he did. And here Jabez is acknowledging that God is the true center of his life. You see, when we pray, like Jabez, we should pray that God will take his rightful position as Lord over our lives, which might very well be the key to all blessings from God. Yes, Jabez was asking for a blessing, and a blessing for himself. But Jabez knew that he needed to be blessed so that he could bless others. You know, friends, there are two things I hope to get across in this sermon this morning. First is the amazing truths in Jabez's prayer for blessing. And the second is to prepare you to expect God's astounding answers and expect them as a regular part of your life experience as you walk with God. And what is that called? Faith. You see, this prayer is so powerful because it reveals that your Father longs to give you so much more than you may have even thought, to ask for. So let's look at this small but powerful prayer again. And the reason we're going to do this, because when you walk out of here, I want you to have memorized it. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." Well, you know, folks, at first glance, these four requests may strike you as sincere, even noble, but not necessarily remarkable. But as we analyze them, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we find that each of Jabez's requests can release something miraculous in our lives. And I'll start my explanation by posing another question. When was the last time God worked through you in such a way that you knew beyond a doubt that God had a hand in it? Well, your God really does have unclaimed blessings waiting for you. And we might think of it this way. Instead of standing by the river asking for a cup of water to get you through the day, maybe you should do something unthinkable. Take this little prayer with this giant-sized prize that comes with it and simply jump into the water, letting God's grace and power carry you along. And let God's great plan for you sweep you forward, sweep you into a profoundly important and satisfying life, a life directed and orchestrated by a true living God. How can that help but be perfect? Oh, that it would bless you. Bless me indeed. What a way to start a prayer, huh? It is possible that just maybe God wants us to be selfish in our prayers. You ever think about that? And to ask for more and more again. Well, the answer is yes. But when we ask for God's blessings, we're not asking God for more and more of what we could get ourselves. We're crying out for the wonderful, unlimited goodness that only God has the power to give us. Remember what it says in Proverbs 10:22. The Lord's blessing is our greatest wealth. All of our works add nothing to it. But notice, folks, in Jabez's request for a blessing, he left it entirely up to God to decide what blessings he would get. That's called praying in God's will. And that kind of trust in God's good intentions towards us, it has nothing in common with asking for a new house or a new car. You see, our prayers, like Jabez's prayers, should focus on nothing more or nothing less than what God wants for us. And by throwing ourselves entirely into the river of His will, He will answer our prayers to fit His will. And all other needs become secondary to what we really want. And what is that? To become wholly immersed in what God is doing through us for His glory. You know, guys, we should make a lifelong commitment to ask God every day to bless us. And while He's at it, bless us a lot. You know, our Bible is proof that we're not what our parents decide we should be, and we're certainly not what society labels us to be. What counts is knowing what we want to be, then asking for it. Let's look at the second request. Oh, that You would enlarge my territory. You see, folks, this part of Jabez's prayer is where he asked God to enlarge his life so that he might make a greater impact for the kingdom. And friends, we can see both the context and the results of Jabez's prayer. His request is not for more estate, but more influence, more responsibility, and more opportunity to make a mark for the kingdom. You see, when Jabez cried out to God to enlarge his territory, he was looking at his present circumstances. And maybe some of you can relate to this. Jabez was concluding, surely I was born for more than this. I am ready, Lord, to handle more of everything You have put in my care. Take it and enlarge it. You know, I've actually had conversations with businessmen that ask if I thought it was right to ask God for more business. I'm not making this up. My answer was simple. Absolutely. If you're doing business God's way, it's not only right, but God is waiting for you to ask. You see, your business is the territory God has entrusted to you. Remember the parable of the talents? You have done well with little. I will trust you with plenty. You know, Jabez's prayer could have gone something like this. Lord God, please expand my opportunities and my impact in such a way that I touch more lives for Your glory. Lord, let me do more for You. You know, most of us think of our lives as too full already, don't we? But in faith, when you start to pray for more ministry, amazing things happen. Your opportunities expand. I'm probably standing here today because of the prayer of Jabez. You begin to sense the pleasure that God feels, and also the urgency to accomplish great things through you. You will sense that. So let's look at the third request Jabez makes in his prayer. Oh, that your hand would be with me. Here we see Jabez having dared to ask for an enlarged territory, understands he's going to need some help. You see, Jabez understood he would need that supernatural ability, but he knew where to get it. And what a better way to ask for it. Oh, that your hand would be with me. You see, the hand of the Lord is a biblical term for God's power and presence in the lives of his people. And we find that both in Joshua 4:24, Isaiah 59:1, as well as many other places in Scripture. I'm just pointing out a few. And you know, guys, you could call God's hand on you the touch of greatness. But you do not become great. God becomes great through you. And you understand what your Father's hand is like when you can finally say, Father, please do this in me because I can't do it alone. And you step out in faith, do and say things that could only come from his hand. Apostle Paul reminds us of this in 2 Corinthians 3, 5-6, when he says, to think of anything good, many of you know the scripture, as being from ourselves, is wrong. Our sufficiency is from where? God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. I love that. We are ministers of the new covenant. And one other thought before we move on to the next part of Jabez's prayer. Paul also reminds us that our God eagerly seeks those who are sincerely loyal to him. You see, your loyal heart is only part of this expansion program that God will not provide. You have to bring that. Let's look at the final part of this great prayer. Oh, that you would keep me from evil, from harm. You know, Jabez's last request, in my mind, is brilliant. But I believe very little understood. Very little understood for sustaining the Christian life. And that's what it's in there for. But Jabez understood. Jabez understood that as your life transcends the ordinary, guess whose turf you're treading on? And it does not make Satan happy. In the last part of the prayer, Jabez asked for supernatural power as his territory was enlarged. And now, Jabez's petition is for supernatural power. Power to help protect him from Satan's proven ability to interfere with his new territory. You know, without a doubt, greater success brings greater opportunities for failure. And the more successful we become, the more we will experience Satan's attacks on you and your family. Jabez understood this. He also understood that the most effective war against sin is to pray that he would not have to fight sin. You know, it's my experience, guys, that most Christians seem to pray solely for strength, to endure temptation. Also for the victory over the attacks of Satan. All good. But somehow we don't think to ask God to simply keep us away from temptation and keep Satan at bay and out of our lives. You think God does not have the ability to do that? Think again. Remember the model prayer our Savior gave to his disciples. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Maybe Jabez was aware of that prayer. Notice the prayer says nothing about spiritual insight or special powers, or not even a word about confrontation. So I would ask you, when was the last time you asked God to keep you away from temptation? You know, in the same way our God wants us to ask for more blessing, more territory, more power, our God longs to hear us ask for safekeeping from evil. You know, guys, in a world according to Bruce, and I got a lot of ideas up here, man. Don't believe them all, but I believe we should focus as much on avoiding temptation as we do in beating temptation. You know, with all the legions of angels at his disposal, even our Savior prayed for deliverance. And the more we move into our spiritual walk, the more Satan will tempt us. But the most effective war against sin that we can possibly wage is to pray that we will not have to fight unnecessary temptation. And when we ask, God offers us his supernatural power to do just that. Because Satan most opposes those who are becoming the greatest threat to him and his kingdom. And in those times of temptation, the more God answers your Jabez prayers, and the more God answers, you are prepared to confront spiritual attacks. Because that's our promise. Our God promises that. You know, although we should pray to stay out of the arena of temptation whenever possible, sometimes we cannot be kept from evil. We all know that. But in those times, we can stand confidently against the enemy. We don't have to sell out. Remember the promise. Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And he is with us. He will never leave nor forsake us, even when we are in sin. How about that? He still does not turn away from us. Now before we close, let's look at one more part of the scripture. Verse 9. Where it says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you believe God has favorites? We got a yes, a no, maybe so? Well, certainly God makes his love available to all of us. Is that not correct? And don't forget, Jesus came so that whosoever might call on his name would be, what? Saved. And not only saved, but what else? Unconditionally loved, right? But Jabez, whose prayer earned him a more honorable award from God, might just have made a case that God does have favorites. But not really. Simply put, God favors those who ask. And Jabez asked. You see, our Father holds back nothing from those who want and earnestly long for what He wants. But what He wants is always the best for us. And to say that you want to be more honorable in God's eyes, that's not being arrogant, guys. Being more honorable describes what God thinks about us. It's not credit that we take for ourselves. And you know something? When we look back over the honor roll of the Bible, if you will, we see their honor has very little to do with their talent. They are mostly just ordinary people like you and I. But you know what the difference is? Separates them from a lot of people. They had faith in an extraordinary God. Same God we serve. But they stepped out to act in faith in their extraordinary God. Same God we serve. Same extraordinary faith we have at our fingertips from a God who wants to help us. And like Jabez, what the people in the Bible that we study so often, what they discovered was a life filled with God's blessings. His supernatural provision and divine direction at every moment that they needed it. And that was the first verse of the prayer. Now, let's look at the last verse. So God granted him what he requested. Well, friends, does that surprise you? God granted Jabez what he requested? The longer you walk with God, the less you will be surprised. And the more you'll realize that the kind of blessings God gave to Jabez can be yours. If we simply surrender to our God and step forward in His protection, in His direction, in His power. And when that happens, we know without a doubt that we are redeemed for just this. And we realize our God has great things in store for us if we'll only ask for them with all of our hearts. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, and that your hand would be with me and keep me from evil, that I may cause no pain." So God granted him what he requested. What a great prayer. And you know something? This prayer belongs to every Christian in this room.
Yes. Yes.
It is yours. There's no copyright on it. A prayer filled with blessings, protection from a true living God, waiting and longing to hear it from your lips so that He can bless you with that request. Church family, let's bow our heads in prayer, and before I turn the pulpit back over to the pastor. Lord God, as our precious time in your word comes to a close this morning, we know it is only the service that has ended and not the presence with you, Father. Well, you've told us clearly that you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. And even as we speak, we can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit that makes it come alive in our hearts. And Lord, we thank you for the prayer of Jabez, a powerful prayer that shows us plainly that all prayer is answered when it is in your will. And we also know, Lord, that any time my requests are in your will, that they are absolutely best for us. Father, we thank you that we serve an unfailing God, a God of provision, and a God of unconditional love. Lord, you've told us that if we will be your people, you will be our God. And Father, we come together this very morning to declare our inheritance. We are your people, and you are our God. And with childlike hearts, we humbly receive your grace. And for this, we give thanks and praise to our true living God, and invite your Holy Spirit into our hearts and into our lives. Father, we thank you for who you are, and we thank you for who you allow us to be, children of a true living King. Thank you, Father, for being such a great God. And we ask all of these things in the precious name of your only begotten Son, the name above all other names, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bruce. Good word. Good help to think, as you were saying, preaching that sermon in the New Testament, where it says, without faith, David has that faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that He is, and here's where Jabez's prayer really kicks in, and that He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And we're people, men and women of faith. Thank you, Bruce, for the word of encouragement. Thank you for making my little vacation with my daughter more pleasant. I didn't have to get any studying done and all the things I had to do. So you did all the work for me, and I appreciate it. Let's all stand. Did you want to say something, Diane? Or are you just praising the Lord? Okay, good. That's thank you, Diane, for leading us in worship this morning. And I'm sure you'll be doing that again, okay? Well, we appreciate you being... You know, Hamilton, Diane did what you ought to do when you go to church. Just jump in. It's like Bruce, you used that illustration. Don't stand by the banks watching the water flow by. Just jump in, and you've jumped in. And I appreciate you and your husband being here and bringing your family and friends and others that are here today. Since I don't know all of you, I've got about 30 seconds before the clock hits 12. And if you've ever been, this is not a Baptist church, but I came through the Baptist seminary. I know that at 12 o'clock, everybody leaves. I've seen people walk out. When it's 12 o'clock, look at their walking shoes, they're moving out. But give me a moment to do something. Since I don't know everyone that's here, I don't want you to leave without knowing something that I know. And that's that God will save anyone. It's not about religion. It's not about whether you go to church. It's not about church membership. It's not about how good you are, how bad you are, how big a failure you've been, or how great a success you've been. Jesus came to save us, every one of us in this room. And it's very simple. Religion makes it complicated. Jesus makes it simple. I guess the go-to sermon scripture for this is, for God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that if you would believe in him, you would not perish, but have everlasting life. If you've never received Christ into your life, I don't know where you've been in church and what you've been doing, but it's very simple. Just like Jabez's prayer. Just asking God into your life. So I'm going to lead us in a very simple prayer. Those of you who are regulars here know I don't do this all the time. But when strangers show up, I do it. Because I don't want you to walk out of church and miss the greatest thing. So I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer with me. You may have prayed it 1,000 times before. Or maybe you've never prayed it. But I'm going to lead in a very simple prayer. And I'm going to ask you to pray out loud so everybody can hear you, so you can hear yourself, all right? So if you'll just pray with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this day. Lord, you know I failed myself. I failed you, and I failed others. But that's why Jesus came, to save the failures. Right now, as best I know how, I place my faith in you. I believe that Jesus was born, that he died on the cross, and that he rose from the dead. And as best I know how, I place my faith in him and him alone to save my soul. And this is my prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to do something for me. If you need prayer, I'll be up here. I'll be glad to pray for you. Anything I can do for you, I'll be happy to do it. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you come by and let me know?